And thanks again to Garden Spot Fire and Rescue. Great to have you folks here. You are folks that we really, when it comes time to call 911, you don't appreciate them until you need them. When we go to Michigan in the summers, where my wife's family's from, we go to the beach there. It's on the Thumb. And we look out at these two islands. One of those islands is called Little Charity, and there's Big Charity. And I asked my father-in-law about these islands, and I said, does anybody live out there, vacation out there? He said, well, actually, he said, there was a guy who bought up land out there, and he was going to develop this stuff, and he had this great idea. People could drive their boats in, and then they'd have golf carts out there, and they'd have these summer houses, and he was getting plans for the sewer to be put in out there and roads, and it was going to be great. And then they realized something. What didn't they have? Fire and Rescue aren't going to go out there to this little island. And the whole thing fell apart. There's something about that security of knowing that when you are in distress, you know who to call. And it's one of those things that they didn't think about until, I don't know how the guy made out financially, but that was significant. And it was a deal breaker when that was not available. Our family learned this ourselves about 6-7 years ago. Woke up at 2 in the morning one night, smelled this smoke, and it was a nasty, toxic type of smell. And you know how it is at 2 in the morning, you're not thinking quite straight. I panicked. I thought, what is going to blow up in our house? Is there an electrical fire? It was just this nasty smelling smoke. So woke Jennifer up, my wife up, woke the children up, then got the dog, and we got out of the house in that order, children first, then the dog. And and we called 911. And there we were, 2 in the morning, outside in our yard, and it was just this really scary, lonely feeling. But once we called 911, there was this sense of, okay, help is on the way. Resources beyond ourselves are coming. And they arrived. And did they ever arrive? Fire truck, police car, ambulance, 2 in the morning, and Dawn Avenue was lit up. And we didn't know what was going to happen. And they went into our house, weren't in there too long until they came out with a big pot. And in that pot was a melted piece of plastic medical equipment. Our dishwasher had been broken, so we had to sterilize this stuff. We put it to boil it, forgot about it, went to bed, and this thing, the water boiled off, and about 2 in the morning, plastic started melting. That's what it was. So, you know, I'm one of those people. And I'm sure you could tell stories. And I'm one of those people. But I want to invite you to think about that position that our family was in there, and some of you have been there. But there's that moment of when you make that call, and there's that freeze frame moment where you're waiting. It feels like forever. It wasn't long. A minute and a half, two, I don't know how long it took for them to come. We didn't time them. But that moment where you wait in hope, something is on the way. A resource beyond yourself is coming. Expertise beyond you is coming. People with courage and know-how are coming. And I want to make the point this morning that we're talking about gospel neighboring, that we are called to be people of hope. That we are called to be people of hope. And this moment that for us was just 2 minutes long is a picture of how a lot of us live our lives. It might not always be the huge crisis, but there's something in each and every one of your lives this morning that is not as it should be. There's a relationship that is off. There's a financial issue. There's whatever. Everybody has something that is heavy on your heart. We could go around, if everybody had truth serum, there'd be something for everybody. Are we calling out to God? And are we living as people of hope? And as we interact with our neighbors and our family and our friend, one another, are we holding out hope? We don't know what God's solution is, but do we believe that we are not alone? That we're not alone. There's something else out there. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. The heart of the gospel is that God comes to us in our distress. And you know, it's true that from the very moment we are born calling out for distress. Isn't that right, Audrey? First thing you do is you let out a healthy scream. Fill your lungs. And think about an infant. All of us were there at one time where you're hungry, you cry. You have other issues, diapers, you cry. You're whatever, you're not comfortable, you cry. And God made parents, caregivers in such a way that they respond to the cry of distress. And what that does is it communicates from earliest days that what God is like.
that God created that parental instinct to respond to the cry of distress, and a child learns in a healthy environment that God is good. God responds. But as we get older and appropriately we outgrow that crying out to our parents, hopefully at some point we stop saying, "I want supper now." Hopefully you're beyond that. We grow to self-sufficiency, and that's good. But what we also tend to grow out of is this sense of neediness before God, where we start to trust our own resources to take care of a problem. We talk to other people, and there's a place for that. Or we devise our own solutions, and we forget to cry out to God. In the heart of God, God says, "I want you to cry out to me in distress." Scripture could not be more clear about that. Jeremiah 33:3, sometimes referred to as God's phone number. "Call unto me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." And I just want to run through real quickly some scriptures, really quickly, all throughout the Bible. In my distress, Psalm 18, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried to God for help from his temple. He heard my voice." Next one. "I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me." That's Psalm 120. Psalm 55, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." Isn't that amazing? Hopefully the 911 calls aren't coming that often. Evening, morning, and noon. "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." That's Jonah. "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place." Isn't that wonderful? There's more in the scriptures, but the message could not be more clear. God wants us to call out in distress, and God hears us and God answers. The response may not be according to our preference, and there's this time in which we wait in hope that can be difficult. And it's a place we're called to enter into to other people and join them in that place of pain and speak words of hope. We talked about last week how so many people in this world don't know anyone who is a person of hope. And we as Christians are called more than anything else to have the fragrance of hope. Not that we're Pollyannas and just say everything's going to be okay. No, problems are real, but hope is denying problems a place of power and influence. Even though there's pain and distress in that moment, we don't know how things are going to turn out. I want to share just a few things this morning about what it means to call out to God in distress and what that looks like. And I want to look particularly at the story of Jonah. The first point I want to make here is this one. Oh, there's the other verse I wanted to share. Pray in the Spirit, probably the best one. "Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests." From the New Testament. A reminder to cry out to God. God's intervention, we talked about this last week, begins long before the problem. That long before Adam and Eve sinned, God already had the idea that Jesus was going to come and was going to die on the cross and was going to bring redemption. And they wondered, you know, you'd think that solution would have come right away. It was thousands of years of waiting. But the plan was already in place long before the problem existed. And I want you to think about those things in your life that are not as you want them to be. And you are longing for intervention from God. The plan is already in action. The plan's already in place that God has in coming to your rescue. You can't see it yet. But it's there, because that's the heart of God. I want you to think about Jonah for a second. The story of Jonah. Jonah's disobedience. God calls him to go to Nineveh, and he runs away, and he's on the ship, and God sends a storm because of Jonah's disobedience, and Jonah says, "You know what? Hey, it's me. You better throw me overboard." And they do, and Jonah's in the water, and he's going to drown. And the fish comes along. The great fish comes along and swallows up Jonah. Do you ever think about that fish was created by God long before Jonah's disobedience. That God created that fish knowing that Jonah was going to disobey. That God is creating and working your solution long before the problem even exists. Because God knows your situation. And God's a God who comes to our rescue when we cry out to God. The second point I want to make here, and this is not on the PowerPoint, but God, there's a critical step in this process. Jonah cried out to God from the belly of the whale. He cried out to God that God has a plan, but God also wants you to cry out. That you're crying out to distress is a connection to God. Does God need you to do that? No. But God wants a relationship with us. And so often you'll hear from people who say, you know, when I went through the greatest crisis in my life, that's where I experienced the presence of God like no other time. Why? Because there's really nowhere else to go. And so you cry out to God and you experience the consolation of God like no other time. What would it be like if we learned morning, noon, and night to be bringing all kinds of situations to God in prayer, like Ephesians says, with all kinds of prayers and requests? God's plan is, there's something about you acknowledging your need for God that brings God's, that allows, releases God to bring that plan into fruition. There is a church in Philadelphia, and it's called, it has a unique name, it's called Church of the Needy. Church of the Needy. It's led by a man named Twin Nguyen. He's from Vietnam. And I've always been intrigued by the name of this church. Church of the Needy. Now, you might hear of a church that perhaps would call themselves Church for the Needy. Like, we have ourselves together and we exist for those people out there, those other people who are all messed up, those needy people. But no, the Church of the Needy says we are needy people. That's why we are here, to experience Jesus, because we are in need. I think more of us ought to consider that to be part of our identity. Church of the Needy, crying out to God. God hears and responds to our cries even when it's our fault. I really believe there are times we get in situations where we say, you know what, I'd cry out to God, but you know, I'm kind of in this situation because of my own folly. How many times do you all respond to people like me who are in their situation because of their own stupidity, negligence? Just check out when hurricanes come. They say, please evacuate, please evacuate, please evacuate. And there's always those who don't for one reason or another. And then you good folks come in and risk your lives for those folks who, and there's reasons. Some people can't afford to travel. It's complicated. But God specializes in coming to our rescue when it's our fault, when we're guilty. And that's the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That you may be dealing with something that you feel some guilt and shame over, and you think, well, God won't come to my assistance because I'm in this, and God now expects me to dig my way out. Cry out to God. That's what Jonah did. Jonah cried out to God, and he was in that situation because of his own doing. But he cried out to God, and God loves the cry of the person who knows they bear some responsibility for where they are in one way or another. And God comes to our rescue. The unwelcome circumstances can sometimes be part of God's hidden plan. Did you ever think about what that felt like for Jonah? To be swallowed by the fish. And I'm not sure how much he realized that that was God's rescue plan. When you're in the belly of the whale, surrounded by all kinds of acid and stench and fish. And what was that like? I don't think it felt like a rescue, and yet it was. It was God's intervention. I don't know what point Jonah realized that, but are there situations that you are in right now that feel like the curse of God or feel like they're not welcome circumstances that could actually be part of God's plan in ways you don't even know? You hear stories about people, athletes who have all kinds of potential, who experience a devastating knee injury at a key time in their career, and it just feels like, God, what are you doing? And that injury or that closed door in the area of football or whatever it may be leads into some other opportunity, and they look back 10, 15 years later and say, thank you, Lord, for that injury, that had I not experienced that, I would have missed this best thing that God had for me. There's ways that God works in mysterious ways that only make sense 10 or 15 years later. There are those of you who can point to relationships you were in, and maybe someone dumped you or broke up with you, and you say, thank the Lord for that happening. Raise your hand. No, I'm not kidding. That's your stories. No. God works in ways that you think something is from the enemy, and it's actually God's provision. And of course, we recognize that even those things that come from the enemy, God has a way of coming in and redeeming those for his own purposes. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That God can turn anything, God can turn any sword into a plowshare. Something meant to bring harm that comes and brings good, brings life. Test God and see if that's how God works. There's testimonies we have about that. There's a time to be still so God can fight your battles. There's a lot of us struggle with that, and I'm one. You know, there's this whole term overfunctioning that a lot of us struggle with. And sometimes we underfunction, sometimes we overfunction. And there's times we try to do those things that only God can do. And I'll come back to the first responders, that there is a time when the first responders will tell you the best thing you can do is wait for the experts. The best thing you can do. There are times where maybe there's someone trapped in a vehicle that without the jaws of life, without someone who comes in and to know that rescue is not going to happen unless the folks come who have resources beyond you. There are things in your life that God wants to do that only God can do, and we can actually get in the way. There are ways that we can mess up what God is trying to do by trying to do God's work for God. I think back to the people of the Old Testament who the temptation was to worship Baal. And God said, worship only me. But the people said, but God, do you know anything about farming? Because we pray to Baal, and Baal kind of blesses our cattle so that they reproduce. And God, you don't really know anything about that, do you? You don't really know anything about farming, that we have to pray to Baal. All the other people pray to Baal because Baal knows agriculture. God, that's not your area. And God says, I'm the Lord of all. But the people would come back again and again and worship Baal because they doubted God's ability to oversee this one area of their lives that was so important. How many ways do we do that ourselves? You know, there might be some relationship that's not as it should be, and you have all kind of ways you want to fix it, or this you want to fix this person in some way, and I'm speaking from my own experience, and God says, let me do the work. Let me do the work. It's like this whole wallpaper thing. There's times where you're scraping away, and you spray that chemical on it that has enzymes that can do things that you can't do. And if you're willing to wait and let that do its work, that's the way the Holy Spirit can work. And I'll tell you, if you ever figure out a great way to delineate what's God's work and what's our work, let me know. It takes discernment. I believe that's part of the journey of walking with Jesus, of maturity, of recognizing those areas when it's time to just wait and pray and allow God to do what only God can do. That's the story of Abraham, where God says, Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a child. And at first they believe, but then Abraham says, okay. Sarah says, here, take my maidservant Hagar. We'll help God out a little bit here. And it brings them grief, brings them pain. Are willing to wait for God. And I'm going to close with this. We're called to be people of hope. And there are people around us who are walking in pain. And we heard stories of that in Sunday school. Different people sharing about friends who are struggling with different things, whether it's illness or various things. And how do we walk with people in their pain? Are we willing to walk with people in their pain even when we can't fix it? That's hard. We like to fix things. Are we willing to walk with people in pain and be people who hold out hope with one another? Are we willing to step into that place, coming back to our family on our front lawn at 2 in the morning? We think they're coming. What's going to happen? Are we willing to walk with people in that place and say, help is on the way? We don't know what it's going to look like, but God is with you in this experience. And, you know, I think about, we live in, and I'm not being critical necessarily of social media by this comment. We sometimes beat up on social media. But on social media, you will sometimes hear people cry out or see people cry out. They'll say, does anyone out there care for me? I have 650 Facebook friends, but do I have any real friends? And sometimes then you'll see people respond, yes, I care. Yes, I care. But I believe that God came in the flesh and that every single one of us need people who we can meet with in person. It might be your next door neighbor, people God has placed in close proximity to you who you are called to be in relationship with. So when they come to a place of distress, they have someone, real flesh and blood, who they can talk to, who can walk with them in their pain. We can't do that for everybody. You surely can't do that with 650 Facebook friends. But there's four or five people living close to you who God is perhaps calling you to open yourself up, to be more intentional about maybe showing up in your front yard and working and so conversations happen. I have found that with this series on neighboring, I'm more attuned to opportunities where normally I would just go get the mail and go back in the house, but say hello to my neighbor and give God a chance to build that relationship, to be more in the way. When the snowstorms come, you ever notice how snowstorms come and people all come out of their house because they have to and they're working together? Those are opportunities to build relationships. Don't miss it. Because God wants to use you to be that person of hope who can walk with people in pain, who can say, I don't know what your solution is, but can we cry out to God together and believe that God somehow is going to come to your rescue? That's true for every single one of us. I invite you to prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you've told us all throughout Scripture that we're to call on you in the time of distress. And not just in the time of distress, but even when we don't know what to do, when we have decisions, when we have challenges of all varieties of intensity, Lord God, you call us to bring that to you. And Lord, we confess that as we get older and more self-sufficient, perhaps we fail to recognize how needy we are. Bring us back to that place of dependence upon you. Lord, we are the church of the needy because we need you. And thank you that you love and care. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.